Welcome to Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I'm Allison Kay. I'm a 30-year health and fitness veteran turned business strategist and retreat master. And every Thursday, we're talking about what it takes to create client experiences that actually matter. Because here's what I've noticed. Client experiences have become impersonal, transactional, digital only, and frankly, boring. There, I said it. But the truth is, a client experience is so much more than a transaction. It's about what goes into creating transformation, the strategy behind it, the intentionality, and the human connection. And that's what we're exploring on this show. Whether you're building retreats, hosting events, creating high-touch programs, or reimagining how you serve your clients, this is where we talk about how business owners can create different experiences within their businesses. Experiences that don't just serve clients, they transform them. So if you're ready to go beyond the same old automated funnels and cookie cutter approaches, you're in the right place. Let's dive in and get into the show. Hey, everybody. Thanks again for joining me today for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. Always excited to be here with you. And we always want to be pulling the curtain back here and talking about not just what goes into a client experience, but how we're actually able to help people get the results that they want. And so today I'm talking to Lillian Sue, who she and I actually met online. And I'll just, it's kind of an interesting story. I started noticing that she was engaging with a lot of my content. And so we kind of went back and forth in the DMs. We hopped on a Connect call. And so now here we are. And this is a lot of what I teach my clients to do in building an online footprint and how you actually build relationships with people, you actually have real conversations. But Lillian is a PR expert. She actually helps her clients do exactly that, get more noticed, get more visibility, get more eyeballs on what they're doing. And so we're going to dive into what it looks like to actually have an experience like that, not just in your business, but if you're looking for something like that in your business. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Allison. It's great to be here.
Yeah, of course. So tell everybody first a little bit about you and about, you know, a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into what we're going to talk about.
Sure. I am a publicity coach and PR specialist. Mm-hmm. So I work with my clients, which are entrepreneurs, authors, and coaches, mm-hmm. to build safe visibility mm-hmm. in their publicity strategies in order to leverage their stories to get on the right stages, whether those are virtual and in person, or also be featured on the right media platforms. And that could be podcasts like what we're doing here. That could be magazines, TV, radio, the entire spectrum.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, every business owner wants to be noticed more. Every business owner is trying to get more eyeballs on what they're doing. Duh, right? That's what it takes when you build a business, right? But what I really want to start with here is you're a publicity expert and PR strategist. Tell everybody exactly what that means. You sort of did a little bit, but I still think there are a lot of people out there that don't really understand what your job is.
Well, what I do is I work with my clients to give them the tools, the resources, the support, and the accountability to launch their own successful media campaigns.
Yeah.
So I give them resources, media lists, the whole shebang, templates from my own resources that I've built over my career in order to help them save time and energy getting in front of the right audiences on the right platforms. And with what I do, getting that media coverage is really step one.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally is. And let me just jump in here real quick before we move on. I really feel like, especially with the growth of the online space, and since most people listening to this podcast are business owners, they're entrepreneurial minded. Many people listening to the show have multiple businesses or have a side hustle that they're working, you know, to kind of supplement their business. And so I think at the end of the day, you know, since the virtual space has literally exploded over the last 10 years, I mean, we really saw that kind of the peak of that during the pandemic. But really right now, even though we're 5 years removed from all that, it's really not going anywhere. It's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. It's really here to stay. So having said all that, I do think that a lot of people, a lot of business owners, particularly newer business owners, think that getting noticed is just too loud. It's too noisy. There's too much going on. There are too many people that do what I do out there. I probably hear that all the time when I work with my clients. Most of my clients are either online or in person, but they're just starting to build out both in their business. So I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Definitely. I would never say any market is oversaturated.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Yeah.
Given that everyone has moved online for the most part, it's becoming tougher to be heard just relying on social media and things like that because
organic marketing, everybody
is sharing things, right?
Totally.
So my clients that I work with, they have that ecosystem. They they've done the ads, they have social media, they've got the email newsletter, the website, and they're like, it's not helping me grow the way that I want to grow because I don't know how to make those connections to get on stages and to get on podcasts and be interviewed for a magazine. So what I help them bridge the gap on is it's not about the biggest platforms. It's not about the biggest mainstream platforms that reach millions of households. I always focus with my clients on how do you want to be seen as a leader? Mm-hmm. And are your audiences going to be looking for you on that platform?
Yeah, I love
because
that.
If they're not, then you're wasting your time and energy.
Totally. Yeah, I love this. And I'll just take that one step further. I agree with you. I don't think the market's saturated at all. And I hear so many of my clients tell me that, well, gosh, Allison, there are thousands of people out there that do what I do. It's just, maybe I need to like pivot into something else. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Really, I think the key to that, if that's what you're thinking and feeling for anyone listening, the key to that is to be more authentic with your message, is to be more direct, is to be more upfront, show people who you really are and what really makes you unique and different. And the more you speak into that, the more you actually stand out.
Absolutely. Because I can tell you, Allison, I hear that all the time.
I bet. I'm sure
in
you
my
do.
Network as well, where they're like, the algorithm's not showing my stuff to my audience. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the one thing they're not doing, they're not sharing their stories on podcasts, in magazines, on radio, on TV.
In a real human relation kind of way, right?
Like, absolutely.
Not like, I'm going to do this to see if I can get sales, but and that's not, obviously you and I both know that's not what it's about. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, we want to make sales. But really, the most important thing is to introduce yourself in an authentic way and tell your story.
Absolutely, because how else are people going to trust you?
Yeah.
They need to trust you before they're going to follow you, subscribe to you, recommend you, do all those things.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And the easiest way to build trust is to get out there and start sharing.
Yeah.
Why do you do what you do?
Yeah.
How do you do it? That's what makes you unique. It's not about what you do. There's
thousands and talk
of people
about
that do
you know your
you
challenges do. And you know what you've learned and what you used to think. I call them tiny moments. It's like I do that all the time. I'll say I was sitting here thinking about this, and it made me remember this. And here's what I learned from that. It's like that right there sounds more like a human being talking to another human being versus let me tell you how you can work with me.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, that stuff almost doesn't matter. They want to know how
the real you
relate to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Real you. So a lot of your people, when they come to you, you know, are wanting, you know, obviously to utilize media in the best way. And when maybe that's kind of an oversimplified way of saying it, but I'll just try to be a little bit more specific. They probably want to utilize media to, you know, reach more people, to try to leverage the kind of client connections that they're really looking for. Maybe they're using it to try to get the best fit clients into their business. So talk to us a little bit about that.
My clients, when they come to me, like their goals run the spectrum, but really it comes down to, I want to be recognized as a go-to expert in my industry so that if someone needs a soundbite, they can come to me. If someone's looking for a speaker, they can come to me.
Yeah.
And my best clients that achieve the best results are the ones that are not only passionate about what they do and they have phenomenal stories, they look at publicity and media as an opportunity to learn, to adapt, to be flexible, and recognize that, hey, this is my ultimate goal, right?
Yeah.
To get on stage on an international conference, to be featured in major mainstream media. But there's more than one way to get there.
Yeah.
And in order to do that effectively, they're willing to build that foundation, lay down that experience, because they understand that publicity is a long-term growth strategy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's really about building their reputations as global leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. So let's start then at the very basics. Like when you're talking about when people first come to you and they're looking for how to leverage media, walk us through a little bit of your process. Like, what does that actually look like? Like, maybe there's some typical questions that you would encourage people to answer. Let's start there.
Well, I asked them if they have ever shared their stories publicly.
Interesting.
Right? Because you'd be surprised how much of a mental mindset block even people who are used to speaking about themselves on video can have as soon as you mention doing exactly the same thing on someone else's platform.
I mean, I think I know the answer, but I always like to hear another perspective. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because all of a sudden they know there's another person on the other end.
Yeah.
And they're worried about
how to get real.
Yeah. They're worried about how they're being perceived, all of those things, whether they stumble, whether, you know, how they look, all of these other external things that they wouldn't otherwise care about if they're
just recording something. A little imposter syndrome, maybe.
Yeah. So, you know, that part of it comes up a lot. And as we're working through that and I'm digging deep into them, this is the part about safe visibility that I build with my clients. Why do you not feel safe sharing your story publicly on someone else's platform? And a lot of it is because, you know, I was minimized as a kid. I was told to, you know, shut up when I tried to voice my opinion.
Yeah.
All of these different things that come through. And then I remind them, as we're embarking on this journey together, that sense of safety is in your control to build.
Yeah.
Why? Because you control how much of your story you want to share.
Yeah.
And where that line between personal and private exists.
Yeah. And I think it's really, I think that's going to vary for everybody. You know, I think there's some people that have a very large comfort zone and really don't want to share a lot. And then there are people that are like, you know what? I'm just going to lay it all out there and just say, you know, this is really the story. And I think, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say with that is there's not a right or wrong way to do it.
No, it is absolutely up to the individual and how you want to move forward. My job is to guide them on what sorts of stories do you want to share to answer these different questions. Like you mentioned earlier about sharing the challenges you've been through, the lessons you've learned. There's so many different ways you could answer those
questions.
Or even
talking about the wins that you've had in your business or the wins that you've had as a human being. It's like, you know, I think what people forget, and I really don't care how long you've been in business. I think we always look for ourselves in other people's stories. You know, there's a degree of comfort that we want in someone else's story. It's almost like we need someone else to say, hey, that happened to me too. Or I can relate to that. Or you know what? Here's what I learned. Because, you know, for a lot of really prominent people in business, and not just business people, but politicians, world leaders, whatever, you know, we tend to put those people up on pedestals, you know, and we forget that they're real people too. So I think it's always gratifying, at least it is for me, when I really get to know somebody and I'm like, wow, that's really not what I thought about them at all, you know. So, and I think that's why the story piece is so important.
Absolutely. And it's the one thing I tell my clients is that is your superpower that no one can take from you.
Yeah, I love that.
Because you lived it.
Yeah, I love that. So let's go then to the next question. When you work with them on how to tell their story to the degree that they feel comfortable and to the degree that they should be telling their story to really leverage the platforms that they want, and that's probably going to vary from client to client. Where do you usually go next? Do you help them figure out like what platforms are going to be best? And you kind of probably craft a unique strategy depending on the person.
Absolutely. Yeah, really, you know, because that's the other main question that I get from my clients and also people in my audience. The first one is, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
The second one is, with all the platforms out there, I have no idea how to find the right ones.
Yeah.
So I really work with them to narrow down on, you know, when it comes to your audience and you know your audience, where are they spending their time?
Yeah.
What are they listening to, watching, yeah. reading, subscribe to that's going to solve the issues that they're having that you should be appearing
Interesting.
On?
Interesting. Yeah. So that would include like podcasts, like you mentioned, magazines. What about like online summits and events, like, you know, conferences online? I mean, not just virtual events, but like in-person events too.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I work with my clients on who want to do speaking is also really deepening their connections with different associations, relationships that they build with other entrepreneurs and coaches that have memberships. Because I tell them, I said, what that can do, in addition to building relationships with conferences, right, is that their audience gets to know you, you get invited back, and you get to deepen the education with them, giving them more chances to want to work with you because they're getting more of a glimpse into your process, your expertise, and why what you do matters.
Yeah, I think there's always an opportunity to go deeper when you have an opportunity. And I'm not saying you should give away the farm for free. You know, I think so many business owners are hesitant to do that because they think, well, they get that inside my paid program, or they get that when they work with me. But I still think there's a way that you can always go deeper, to use your word, and share more value. Because I think what we have to understand today is that the market is very different than it was even last year or the year before. I think people are buying differently. I think people want different experiences. I think people are more hesitant, I think. I think they're a little more cautious. I think in all of that is an opportunity to do exactly what we're talking about, to share freely what you know. We live in the information age. People can go out and Google anything that they want, just about. And so I think what we can do as leaders is, you know, cut through some of that and show that we're real people, you know, and that, you know, there's always something else that we can teach and something else that we can learn.
Yeah, because what I've noticed too in the shifts in my industry is that it's not the information that people want. It's the proximity. It's the access. It's the, hey,
Very
I'm stuck.
Point.
I need you to help me through this, which is
point.
Why I became a coach to begin with, because no agency is going to teach you how to do this.
That's true.
And set you up for long-term success. I love my agency colleagues, but they will take your money, do the campaign, and then
they're done.
Everything's done. And then, and then you're out on your own again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So for me, it's really about providing my clients with that ongoing support of, you know, where are you stuck? How can we workshop this? And how can we take whatever frameworks and strategy there is, because there is a general framework, and really tailor it to what it is you want to do?
Totally. Yeah. Well, and I always think in today's world that there's so many options or so many ways that you can make that work for you. And so I think for people listening that are like dead set on one strategy or another strategy, I guess I just want to hear, since this is your wheelhouse, what are the best performing places right now? What are some of, like, I can tell you what I think is really busting out on the scenes today, but I would like to hear your perspective on that. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition
to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
It does depend on the industry and your specific genre, right? I've worked with a lot of creative clients, a lot of authors, a lot of filmmakers. So in those areas, your podcasts and your genre-specific magazines are going to go gangbusters.
Yeah. Do you think magazines are still popular for people?
You know, if you asked me this question, Allison, just 6 months ago, I would have said no, because all the data I've been gathering over the last 10 years
has told me. Because print media has changed too.
Right. Nobody's subscribing. They're cutting down their staff, all of that. That is until, you know, I landed a magazine, my first one in a long time, and the response I got to it was like, oh, there's still cachet. People are actually still reading.
Well, I think there's still a genre of people, a group of people, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know that it's necessarily limited to an age group or a niche or an industry or any of that. But I still think that there are people out there that, you know, that want something they can hold in their hand, you know, like a newspaper. God, I can't believe I just said the newspaper, you know, because so many people read the newspaper online now. But there's still people that want to hold something in their hand, a publication, and read it versus just being digital.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, what's really interesting is that as much as mainstream media has changed and is shrinking and there's a lot of budget cuts and platforms closing and everything, there is still cachet there, not just because of the potential audience reach they have, but because I think slowly entrepreneurs are understanding that that's the next tier of media. And that is harder to get into today than it was 20 years ago. And with the podcasts are the easy side.
Yeah.
So it's because that's the easier side, you have to be more discerning too on what's actually a good fit, what's actually going to help me move the needle, and what's actually going to get me in front of the right audiences.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. And I'm glad to hear that, because I do think that there's a place for, you know, print media and publications. But I do think that the public is a lot savvier when it comes to that. And I think the digital world has really changed that. You know, there's pretty much an app for everything now, you know, just about. And there's a lot of ways that people get their news, that people get their information. And I think if you're looking to really leverage that as a business owner, I think probably the most important place to start, other than your story, is really understanding what your person wants. Like, and that's just a real, you need just a real, a constant ongoing deep dive of what your client's thinking, what they're looking for, what are they Googling at 3 a.m, so to speak, you know, what's keeping them up at night, you know, what's really burning on their mind and on their heart. And I think as business owners, that's our responsibility to always be tethered into that, like regularly.
Absolutely. And that's the other point I wanted to make about just publicity in general. It's not ego-driven, right?
Yeah.
You can't forget that the media does not owe you anything.
Yeah, it's they not about you. Right.
Yeah, they don't want a sales pitch. What they want is content that their audience is going to be captivated by, entertained, learn from, and actually do something with.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for. So when I hear things like journalists today, 70% of journalists will delete pitches they get because the research hasn't been done.
Yeah.
They're not even addressed to the right people.
Yeah.
It's not so much that the media is being more discerning. I mean, yes, they are. But on the other side of the coin, we have a responsibility to do the work, do the research to ensure that we're getting in front of the right people, because they don't, like, the media doesn't owe us anything.
Yeah. Well, and I think what we have to remember, it's really not about us at the end of the day. I mean, I probably go through this with my clients on a regular basis, where so many people want to talk about their experience, who they've worked with, how long they've been in business. And I think all of that is important, because I think you need to establish yourself as a credible expert. But I think at the end of the day, that's not what matters to people. I think what matters to people is that they feel like they know you and they can relate to you and they feel like you can help solve their problem. And so I think to the best of your ability, when you're utilizing any media platform, and I'd love your input on this, I think you always have to keep that in mind. At the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about them. It's about your person.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always, I say to my clients as we're doing, because media coaching is a big part of what I do too.
When they land
interviews, I'm like, okay, let's role play. Yeah. How are you going to navigate this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When they ask you a particular question or they throw a curveball question at you or they try to push a little bit.
Because a lot of them do. They have their own agendas and you know, that's the way that it goes, but you have to know that going in.
So I always tell my clients, I'm like, key to all of this, you have to remember two things. Number one is of course, you control how much of your story you want to share.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into this knowing that you're trying to build a powerful relationship here. Everything you do in navigating how you answer these questions is going to affect that. So how do we keep it on the positive? The second part is focus on your audience. Like if you were on the other side and listening to somebody else talk about their story and everything, what would you want to hear versus what would make you turn the whole interview off?
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a really eye-opening thing to think about because I think, and I'm not saying anyone out there does this on purpose, but I do think that sometimes we're unconscious to that. You know, we'll get into a conversation and we just want to make sure that people know that we're smart and that we know what we're talking about and that we're the real deal. When really what we're forgetting to do is talk about, you know, I was having a conversation with a client the other day and here's what she shared. It's like, that's really what people want to hear. You know, they wouldn't be tuning in if they weren't interested in what you do, you know? And I think we forget that sometimes as human beings.
Yeah, because you can get into, you know, that rapport, you can get into that cadence with things. And that's the other thing I warn my clients about all the time. I say, do not get complacent and think that your next interview has listened to all the other stuff that you've done.
Yeah.
You have to treat every conversation as a new opportunity. It's a blank slate.
Yeah, love that. Because I do think in the age of social media, I think we're sort of led to believe that, well, everyone's reading my stuff. No, they're not. No, they're not. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've posted about an event for months, and then I'll get a reach out. I want to know when your next retreat is. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is all I've been talking about. But this is exactly why we have to be conscious of that, because this is the world we live in. People are consuming marketing material all day long.
That's the other piece that's really important that I've heard several times this year already about that in-person touch, that in-person follow-up.
Totally.
Right? So that's why I say to my clients, there are ways in which you can navigate an interview that's going to leave the door open for repeat opportunities. You can say to that podcaster, hey, how about we do a live Q&A since this is pre-recorded? I want to know what questions your audience has for me.
Yeah,
right?
I love that.
You want to give people more personalized touch points. So not only do they get access and proximity to you, they know that you care, right? That if they subscribe to your thing, you're not just going to, you know, leave them alone and they become a number in your system.
Yeah, totally. I love that. I love that. So tell us then, before we wrap up, like walk us through how people can work with you. Like, I mean, it sounds like what you do, and obviously I already know this, because I know you, is you do a lot of customized work with your people. This isn't kind of a cookie cutter, one size fits all, let me teach you the right approach kind of thing. It really depends on the client and who you're working with. So I'm assuming, like, do you do private work? Do you do group work? Like, tell everybody, like, what they can expect when they work with you.
I do private one-on-one coaching as well as consulting and the done with you side of things.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And it really fits clients depending on where they're at and their journey, right? The consulting folks are like, I can DIY this. I just need a set of eyeballs on it to make sure I'm closing the gaps. Mm-hmm. The coaching folks are about, you know, I want this knowledge.
Yeah.
I want the tools. I want the confidence to go out there and do it myself. And the reason why I also love coaching is in the future, if they do want to work with an agency to just do a campaign for them, they are confident enough to then step up to the plate and advocate for their goals. Because I've heard from so many entrepreneurs who didn't feel good doing that. And then, of course, the campaign went nowhere because they had all these misaligned opportunities, right?
And they surrender a lot of their control to the agency and just assume that it's all going to, they're just going to know, and this is, they're the experts and they're just going to handle it. But at the end of the day, it's our work, you know, it's our vision. It's what we do that we have to always make sure that we're in control of that. I love that message.
Yeah, because for me, it's really about, it doesn't occur in a vacuum.
Yeah.
You know, it is as much a part of your marketing strategy as your website, as social, as email.
Yeah.
And they're all linked. Mm-hmm. So I always say to my clients, I said, if we want to succeed here, we want you to continue to grow. Yeah. We need to make sure all of your systems are set up for that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I will bring in resources, other experts I know to help them build out the back ends and all that stuff as part of my coaching program as well. And with the Done With You side, I'm stepping into the trenches as the middleman. I will bridge the gap between my client and the media, and I will be scheduling the interviews. I will be, this week, I actually just helped to negotiate a possible business partnership for one of my clients as well, you know, because that just happened to come up. So, you know, it's really about recognizing where the client is in their journey and what they're looking for and what level of support is best going to suit them to get to the goals they want to achieve.
Well, I love that. And what I love about what you just said is that you don't just have one offer. You don't just have, this is my program and let me tell you why you need all of it. And I think all that's well and good, but I think you understand that each client is a little bit different. And, you know, the private offer, let's say the consulting offer, may not be the best fit for everybody. So I love that you kind of practice what you preach and you're kind of flex on that too.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also out there sharing my story all the time. Yeah. I have my own media strategy because as a coach, I always believe, you know, in order to do this effectively, I have to lead by example. Yeah. I cannot refuse to do what it is I'm trying to coach my
clients. You have to walk the walk as well as talk the talk.
Absolutely.
It's so important. Yeah, that's that's so important. So last question before we wrap up, I would love to know from you, like, what do you think the new trends are? Like, I'll tell you, I have my own ideas, but I would love to hear from you. Like, what are there any like new media trends this year? Are there things that people should be on the look? I realize it's going to vary by the person, but I'm just curious because this is your wheelhouse. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I believe in the age of AI that publicity is still going to be the best way to build and protect your reputation. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
AI, you know, can, depending on how good the systems are, they can create the photos.
Totally. Yeah.
They can create written content. It's not the information that's going to make you stand out. If someone tries to do something, the best way to protect yourself is to get out there and build that foundation of content where you're speaking to an audience. You're doing an interview. You're doing a live Q&A, a panel. These are things that it can't fake right now. Mm-hmm. And the more of a foundation that you have of that, the more, if something does happen, and I tell entrepreneurs this all the time, it does not matter how small you think you are. Yeah. You are not immune to having a crisis that can tank your business.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to get out there and build that foundation because the more people recognize you, the more they're going to go, wait a minute.
Totally.
This piece of content isn't Allison. It doesn't look like her. It doesn't sound like her. Yeah. I don't think it's her.
Yeah. Well, and you just have to keep, you know, showing what's unique about you, because at the end of the day, AI is really not going anywhere, to your point. But I also think that it's not going to replace us as human beings either. You know, there are probably people out there that will argue with me on that and say, well, AI is going to come take your job. And, you know, to some degree, that might be true, but it's not going to replace who we are.
Yeah. And on that front, too, what I've noticed in the age of, you know, AI search engines and everything, what's really been rising in popularity, much less than social is LinkedIn and YouTube, which in and of themselves are not really social media because
they're not really new. They've been around for a while. You know?
Yeah, but they're search engines is what they are. Right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I'll tell you something else. I think Substack is exploding now too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people talking about, like, for a while it was, everyone was on social media. Then it was LinkedIn. Then it was school, the platform school.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, Substack is the best way. If I was starting over, I'm going to go do Substack. So it's just, I think it's interesting to observe and see like which platforms are still around, which ones are making changes so that they can stay relevant. And to your point, I think that's where LinkedIn and YouTube are, they're recognizing that, hey, there's a powerful something here that people want. So how can we make this better?
Yeah. And also with the new platforms, with stuff like Substack.
Yeah.
I think that is obvious and a response to people wanting to get off social and to stop relying on it so much.
And it's also a way to protect your intellectual property. You know, like your unique strategy that you use with media is your IP. And, you know, you, again, to your point, you were just talking about this a minute ago. This is something that I think we always have to be on the lookout for, because AI can create anything and you can put your stamp on it and say it's mine. So having a way to protect your IP is super important too.
Especially since there's been so many instances of AI and all that violating copyright and trademarks, right? Yeah. So, you know, to protect yourself, everyone has to be more strategic about what media do I own?
Yeah,
and the beauty of publicity, no matter what like platform you've done the interview on, it doesn't live on social.
Yeah.
So as long as you have access to it, you can share it everywhere.
Exactly. And social media is really just rented space. It could go away tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So it's like, that's all the more reason to have an intentional plan to like protect, you know, not just your followers and people that are in your ecosystem, but, you know, everything that you create on social media. You need to have a way to, if that is part of your IP, you want to have a way to protect that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Love it. What's the best way that people can reach out to you?
Definitely follow me on Instagram, Lillian Sue, PR coach.
Yeah.
I'm also at Facebook, on Facebook, Lillian Sue 23. I have a free Facebook group that you can join known as Booked, Featured, and Paid, where every week I try to go live with a coaching session to talk about different aspects of PR for you to land the right media interviews and the right speaking gigs.
I love that. That sounds great. So the name of that Facebook group again is Booked, Featured, and Paid.
Yes.
By you, Lillian Sue, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thanks so much for making time to share more about what you do. I really admire the work you do and know that how much you care about your people. So so big props to you.
I appreciate that, Allison. Thanks for having me on. And I really appreciate this relationship you and I have been able to build.
Yeah.
And I will definitely keep in touch on everything. Yeah. And maybe one of these days I'll have to pick your brain about doing retreats and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Of course. Yeah, of course. Totally. You know, I always love talking about retreats. So anyway, and for folks out there listening, there is a lot of gold in this episode. So if you're thinking that you need to leverage media in a different way, or maybe you're not even sure where to begin, I can tell you that Lillian is your person. You definitely want to be at least having a conversation, but at the very least, go get in her Facebook group, Booked, Featured, and Paid, on Facebook. It's a free group, always a great entry point, a great place to start so that you can kind of get the lay of the land and see what works for you. And on that note, if what we talked about today was helpful for you and you know someone in your world who needs to hear this, please feel free to copy the link to this episode, share it with whomever that is, or you can connect with me on my site, www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner and connect with me, literally. And we will be glad to share that episode for you if you'll just tell us where you would like it to go. So I really appreciate all of your support. This is why we've been able to build such an amazing audience. And whether or not you're listening to me today for the first time or you've been following us for a while, we do consider you part of our family. And I appreciate you for that. That's what I got for you on the show, folks, this week. We'll see you next time. Bye.